Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be taking your calls and answering your questions for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and ask your question. You can even bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. You can ask questions about fuel mileage, tires, engine, EGR, aerodynamics, truck specking, maintenance, taxes, financial planning, getting started as an owner-operator, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin. Press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your call. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. Lisa is here screening your calls. If you're listening to us online and you want to join us live on the call, there's still some room, but the lines are filling up fast, so you better dial now. 347-884-8327 is the number. Once you're on the call, if you've got a question, press 1 on your phone. Lisa will screen your call, and we'll get to those. Joining us tonight is Rocco Davanzo from Landstar. He's the Executive Vice President of Agent and Capacity Development. He'll be joining me here in just a little bit on the call. So if you have any questions whatsoever about Landstar system, Rocco and I are going to be talking about a bunch of things. One of the things we're going to cover, and this applies to really everybody, is how you can maximize the end of the year coming up and get a good start on the new year. Playing into freight trends and the holidays and trying to get some time off with the family, but doing it right. So we're going to be talking about that. If you have questions, comments, topics about that, press 1 on your phone, and we'll get to those in a little bit. I am going to go over the freight trends and the number in the industry. One of the things I know is every time we have Rocco on the show, we usually run out of time before we run out of questions and calls. So I want to give you the phone number. Tonight's show is sponsored by Landstar. If you have any questions and you can't get through, the number to call, 877-472-0112. That's the number for Landstar, 877-472-0112. And again, if you have questions, comments, topic, whatever it might be, press 1 on your phone. We'll be getting to those calls, and we'll be getting to Rocco here in just a couple minutes. Let's look at what's going on in the industry. We're going to be talking about the week of October 24th through the 30th. That was the final week of October. Spot market load index was up 1%. Spot market truck index was off about 0.5%, meaning overall the index moved up in our favor by about 1.5%. Not bad for the last week in October. Dry van load to truck ratio for the week is up just barely. It's pretty flat, actually, 0.2%. Comparing month to month, October to September, the spot market load index up 7.6%, but October versus September, the truck index was actually up 20%. So we lost a little bit of ground overall on that. If we look at the spot market load index October of 2010 compared to October of 2009, we're up 75%. And the truck index for that same time period was off 14%, meaning we had an overall net gain in our favor of almost 90%. The flatbed load to truck ratio week over week up 3.9%, month over month, October versus September down 3.7%, year over year up 199%. Good numbers. Reefer load to truck ratio for the week off 1.7%, for the month off 15%. Looks like the reefer sector took a pretty big hit in October. Overall, year over year, up 128%. So things are actually looking pretty good. Let's take a look at the actual ratios themselves and see what's going on with the load-to-truck ratios individually. Drive-in load-to-truck ratio right now is sitting at 2.1%, meaning there are two loads for every available truck in the dry van sector. Let's take a look at flatbed. The load-to-truck ratio there for the most current week is actually looking pretty good. Flatbed is on its way up, and it's sitting right at 17.2%, meaning for every truck available, there's 17 loads right now in the flatbed sector, so, and it's on an upward trend, so that's looking pretty good. Reefer load-to-truck ratio, it's still pretty strong, but it's actually on a downward trend. Starting in October, it was up in the 7.2 range. We're down right at 6 right now, so still strong. 6 loads for every available truck, but it is definitely trending downwards somewhat. If you have any questions about that, you can certainly jump in. We can talk about that as well. So the number, again, there are a couple phone lines left. They're filling up pretty quick. 347-884-8327. Once you're on that call, you can press 1, and we'll be getting to your questions here in just a little bit. Let's bring on Rocco. Rocco, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Kevin. Thanks for having me again this month.
Good evening. Great to have you here. I guess you're on the road today, huh?
On the road at what I refer to as my second home here in Rockford, Illinois. Landstar has an office up here, so I get up here several times a year.
Got it. All right. Excellent. So, you know, we had Dave Dallas on the show over the weekend, and we had a great time with Dave and a good conversation, and we kind of touched on a topic that you and I have talked about we wanted to spend some time on, but we really didn't get in-depth on it, so I was hoping we'd be able to do that tonight.
Great. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. So what we want to talk about, and this is, you know, I've been trying to get people to think this way for a long time, and I think now is a good time to really focus on it. But this concept that you're going to talk about is really something that you could be doing it all year long. And that's the idea of planning your time, planning when you're going to work, when you're going to take time off. That could be done year-round, but it's really kind of critical right now, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, this time of year, you talked about, you know, comparing year over year, October to October, and the load availability or the number of loads that are available has jumped up. I think you said 75%. That's 10 versus 9. 9 was a bad year, but what we see typically, and tell me if you see this across the industry, but, you know, rates are a little bit higher this time of year, November, December, maybe, than you see in January. Is that a fair statement, Kevin, from your experience anyway?
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because even when we have those weird years, and we've been through some weird years where freight is either way down compared to the year before or way up, no matter what, the trend seems to be the same. They don't change all that often. So, yeah, rates do seem to be stronger this time of year than they're going to be in January.
So every load that you haul in November and December pays you more than a load that you might haul in January. And at the same time, your truck payment doesn't change. The fuel that you buy for the truck doesn't change. Your insurance payment doesn't change. Your costs between November, December, and January are fairly flat. You make a little more money on the load in November, December. It's a pretty profitable time of year.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things that you see this time of year is that our schedules sometimes get disrupted. Once we get into that holiday season, I swear, I think there's almost a mindset in this country anymore that, you know, after Halloween, we're on vacation till sometime in February, I think. You know, I know I deal with a lot of different people and we're always trying to get stuff done. And it just seems like for me, there are so many schedule disruptions between now and next year that you really have to focus and plan and make the most of those days. And I try to work as much as I can when I can and then take time off and just get away from it. But, you know, you have Thanksgiving comes, it kind of wipes out a week, and then certainly Christmas and New Year's. And it just seems like one of the things we're talking about here is looking at the rest of the year and planning when you're going to work and making the most of that time and then saying, okay, this is when I'm going to take my time off. And when you do, take it off and enjoy it.
Sure, I couldn't agree with you more, Kevin. And you know, the rest of my little thought process here is every load pays a little more this time of year compared to January. And we're probably also going to find, I think this trend holds, that freight is generally more available this time of year than in January. And it's really the combination of those two that makes a week in December more expensive to take off, if you will, than a week in January. And I just made up some numbers here getting ready for the call. If I can take three loads in a given week in December, and those loads pay me $2,000 a piece, in that week, I'll gross $6,000. In January, maybe those loads are available. Maybe they're available at $1,800 because the rates have fallen a little bit. And maybe I can only get two of those in any given week because freight's just not that abundant. And that means I'm going to gross in that week in January $3,600. So it's almost half the revenue, or twice the revenue, depending on how you're looking at it, which week you take off. And really, that's the point that I wanted to make. You know, old cliche is you got to get while the getting's good. This is the time of year when things really start to pay, and working an extra week in December might allow you to take a week and a half or 2 weeks in January with the same net effect on your bottom line. I do want to say something else. Here's what I'm not saying, Kevin. I think you'll agree with this. I'm not saying miss important family events during the holidays or any other time of year. Just make wise business or fact-based decisions. Time is always valuable. It just might be more valuable at certain times of year.
I agree with that completely. One of the things that I've always done, because I've pretty much been self-employed my whole life, I've always been able to set my own schedule. And this isn't for everybody, and it doesn't always work, but I've made it work for me, and that is there are times when I don't necessarily get tied to a specific date, meaning that, you know, I know Thanksgiving is a specific day and Christmas is a specific day, but there have been many times that I've worked Christmas Eve. And I just, you know, I made it a point to say I'm working because there's an opportunity there, and it's only a day on the calendar. If it's a matter of spending time with the family, and that's the important part, does it really matter if it's that day or 2 days later? And sometimes because I was willing to do that, I was willing to kind of mix up the schedule and do things that other people weren't willing to do, rather than only being able to take off 2 or 3 days for Christmas, I was able to make enough money I could take off a week and a half, 2 weeks instead. So that's part of being, you know, an entrepreneur and self-employed sometimes, is sometimes just think a little bit outside the box. Remember, those are just days on a calendar. If the important thing is being with your family, then plan that And maybe you can maximize it and even spend more time with the family if you think about it and you're willing to do things a little different.
I agree with you, Kevin. And I'll bet if you brought your family into those decisions, they would buy into this thought process as well.
You know, I'm glad you said that because that's a really critical part. You can't wait, and I'm really glad you said this, you can't wait till Christmas Eve and call home and say, oh, by the way, I got this really great load and I'm not coming home. It really needs to be something you're planning now and saying, hey, look, you know, let's be a little flexible. If we get to that week and there happens to be a lot of opportunity because everybody else wants to go home, what if I keep working and we'll take a week or two afterwards? So you're right, the family has to be part of that planning and you have to think about it ahead of time. That's kind of why we're you know, doing this show and talking about this topic now, so people can be thinking along those lines and maybe planning that kind of stuff.
Sure, and again, make sure it's your decision or make sure it's our decision, their decision, depending on how we look at this. But just understand that all decisions that we make have business decisions, have economic consequences. And if you understand the economic consequences of taking the month of December off or 3 weeks in December off, then hey, we talk a lot about freedom at Landstar. It's your freedom to make that choice. But again, time is always valuable. It just may be more valuable at certain times. And when I was on the show last month, I talked a little bit about how to make more money, and one of the ways, as you alluded to a second ago, is be willing to do things that other folks aren't willing to do. That tends to be, in any job, that tends to be where the money is.
Yeah, one of the reasons I think we have such a hard time getting people to think this way in this industry is a lot of people spend a big part of their time in the industry without having those choices. Where,
sure.
You know, I was talking about this where sometimes we're, if you're under a forced dispatch or you've been a company driver and you're pressured to work and you're always trying to get home and you're always fighting with dispatch about when you can get home and when you can take time off, sometimes what happens is when it comes to the holidays, people will take off early. I mean, the very first chance they get to go home, they'll go home, and they'll end up missing a lot of these better rates because they fear getting stuck on the road. They fear getting out there and not being able to get that load back or getting back so late that they miss things. So I think that almost becomes a mindset because people have worked in that situation so often in our industry. And one of the things that we've talked about in the system at Landstar, that never happens. I mean, you have total freedom. You can work right up till the last day you decide to work because you always have the choice when you want to go home and how long you stay there.
Exactly right, Kevin. Exactly right. There is a difference between somebody telling me I have to be in Rockford, Illinois this week, and me making the decision that, you know what, for what I'm responsible for, I need to get up to Rockford, Illinois and sit with my folks up there and reset and talk about some of the things that we're doing. And it's just, even though the time in Rockford, I'm picking on myself right now, but the time in Rockford is the same, it's different when it's my choice than when it's someone else saying, hey, you need to get up there.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really where the whole freedom thing comes in. And, you know, sometimes that's a double-edged sword. I mean, it's one of the things I love about being an entrepreneur. And, you know, when I drove, it was what I liked about having that freedom. Along with that comes responsibility. And when we have choices, some people don't work well under that system. Some people need to kind of be told what to do. I've never been in that group. I want to be able to choose what to do. But I've also learned over the years that along with that freedom comes some responsibility. And that's kind of what we're talking about here. Take the time now to kind of plan out what's going to happen the rest of the year. Because it is such a screwy time in the year, be thinking ahead of time. T- take the responsibility to say, look, if I'm in a system, if I'm at Landstar, nobody's going to tell me when to work and when to go home. I need to figure out when the best times to work and when the best times to take off. And that's what we're trying to get people to think about, is if you've got that freedom, let's plan it. Let's take the responsibility to say, look, working right now makes sense. Rates are up. I can make more money. If I'm going to be away from home, if I'm going to be working, why not make more money for the literally the same amount of work than I would in January? So we're saying if you've got that freedom, take advantage of it.
Sure, and you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. And, you know, you said it a couple of times, that we've been through some weird years recently, and 2009 and the latter half of 2008 were very painful. And if you had a rainy day fund, those are the kind of years that you had it for. And now's a good time to start building that rainy day fund back up. So, again, I'm not saying miss important family events in the, you know, in November, December, or any time of year. Just make sure you're making the best use of your time. That's all.
And really, in order to do that, we need to plan ahead. That's kind of why we're talking about this now, to get people thinking about it. I mean, we have, we're down to less than 3 weeks before the schedule really starts to get screwy. We get mm-hmm. into Thanksgiving and the holidays, and now is the time to be thinking about when you want to work, when you want to take the time off. Mark it on a calendar, you know, get organized about it so that you're not scrambling at the last minute. Decide when you want to work, when you're going to take off, knowing that in January, if things hold true like they usually do, the freight availability and the rates may be lower than they are right now. Odds are they will be lower than they are right now.
Sure, that's what the trends have shown us over the years.
Yeah, and you know what, I was going to take a couple minutes at the top to address this, and I don't want to turn it into a political show, but you know, a lot happened yesterday in politics, and I just want to kind of throw out my take on what I think happened. I've been talking a lot about politics over the last several months and about voting and the importance and, you know, where our economy's been and how it affects the industry, and I think I'm really happy with yesterday's results for a lot of reasons. I think that based on what happened yesterday, we could see a whole lot of nothing come out of Washington for a while, which is the best possible outcome, I think, for us right now. Republicans took control of the House. Democrats still have the Senate. And I think that could create some gridlock. And I think there are a lot of businesses who can almost breathe a sigh of relief and say, hey, you know what? I don't think anything major is coming out of Washington for a while. We can get back down to business. I mean, that's just kind of my take on things. So I'm hoping for a good year next year.
I'm hoping for a good year next year, too, Kevin. There's, you know, some macro things out there. Businesses are sitting on a lot of cash that when they release it, it, you know, it tends to get released at either investment in plants and equipment, most of which has to be moved around, hopefully on a Landstar truck, or they'll, you know, return it to the shareholders in form of dividends, which would put some cash into the economy and maybe get the consumer back. So I'm hoping for a good year next year, too.
All right. What do you say we take some phone calls? Did you have anything else you want to cover before we get to calls?
No, I appreciate you giving out that number early. I'll give it out again because I do have someone. Earl is in the office today tonight taking calls. Earl's number again, 877-472-0112, and he is standing by taking your calls tonight.
Oh, we've got him working late, huh?
Hey, you know what I did, Kevin? I said, Earl, might be a good time to earn a little overtime. And Earl made a decision. Hey, some time is more valuable than other times, and there he is at the desk tonight. So I appreciate him being there.
Yeah, we appreciate him being there, too. And it really fits into the theme. You got to get while the getting's good. And we do know that it's that, you know, when somebody's there, we give out a number. Sometimes people go, I just got the number. I'm here. I've got my phone. I'll give him a call. So Earl's there waiting for you to call. What was that number again?
877-472-0112.
Outstanding. Let's go to California. Q, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Kevin. Good evening. Hey, Rocco, how's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I took off a few days this week just so I could be home to vote. So that was, you know, I wasn't even thinking about the time of year and such. I intended to just work right on through the end of the year to make up for the 4 days I wound up taking off to be home for the election. So that winds up being good for me as far as my bottom line. I'm able to probably get a better selection of freight and better rates from now until the end of the year than what will be available, say, in January. Do I understand your point correctly?
I can't predict what's going to happen tomorrow, but historically, these have been some real strong times of year, and historically, January is a little bit slower.
You know, normally by now I've seen specific Christmas or, you know, type freight from like some of the line hauls like FedEx, UPS starting to recruit strong from our fleet to help with their overflow. I hadn't quite seen that yet this year. Is am I looking in the wrong places or is that happening yet?
I don't think you're looking in the wrong places for that. There was talk earlier this year in the industry magazines that I read about maybe there was a little bit of a pull ahead and some of the retailers brought inventory from overseas in June instead of in August and September. But I think you'll see the normal season for that stuff that you just mentioned coming up real shortly.
Great. Good news. I hope so, because I'm going to probably be out here till Christmas. I hope I'll have some of that to do. Thanks, Rocco.
Oh, you're welcome. Kenny has passed us by.
Yeah. Hey, Hugh, thanks for voting. It helped.
It was, you know, I made a commitment. I don't know if you It's been over a year ago. I started a thread on your website. The title of it was Commit to Vote. I saw how disastrous it was, I have to admit, I was not a very committed voter before the 2008 election. Because, you know, I used the excuse, I was a truck driver, it was hard for me to get home in time to vote. If I did do it, it was going to cost me several days off, as it did this year. And, you know, that was just too big of a sacrifice to make. But when I see how that previous election turned out, and not just how the election turned out, but what it has done to our country, you know, I made a commitment. I'm, you know, the people who founded this country and for the generations since then who have bled and died for our freedom, for our ability, for our way of life. And, you know, I can't go home to vote once every 2 to 4 years. You know, what kind of patriot is that, you know? So, you know, I made up my mind a little over a year ago that, unless it was just impossible, I was going to vote. And you know what? It's too easy to vote nowadays. You can either vote early by absentee, or just get home and vote like I did this year. And I can't let it anymore be said that we're in the situation we're in because I didn't vote.
Excellent. I know you watch the news, and I just had a thought. I didn't see it. I've been watching the news the last couple of days and watching the results. I didn't see anywhere that anybody was reporting what the voter turnout was like. Did I miss it? Has anybody reported, was voter turnout up a lot? Or was...
I have not heard anything about that either, but I have to be honest with you, Kevin. Being at home, I was spending time with my wife. I wasn't paying that close attention to the news these last couple of days. But something did kind of get my attention, And I was looking at when Fox News had called the California gubernatorial election for Ron Brown, not Ron Brown, what's his name? Whatever his name is, Brown. It looked like the vote tally, the total number of votes for the both the Democrat and Republican candidates were only about 250,000. Aren't there 25 million people in California?
Well, you know what I noticed, though, about Fox News calling results last night? I saw them calling races, and there was only 1% of the vote in.
Did they have to go back and change any of them?
I don't think they did. I mean, most of them they got right. I'm not sure if I was shocked as I was looking at the results as they were coming in and some of their tallies. They seem to be calling some races really early based on the percentage and the number of votes, and I was shocked, but I think they got them right. So that may have been what you saw. You may have seen just at a time where a really limited number of votes were in and they were calling some races early. Let's move along. Let's go to Virginia. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Kevin. And it's nice to hear you out there too, Rocco.
Hey, Robert, how are you?
Everything's okay. I got a question for you, Rocco. I'm an owner-operator. I got my own authority, and I'm in the auto transport business and have been for the last 7 years. And I got all my equipment and stuff and that I do my own thing with. If I kind of wanted to maybe jump over to the freight side and maybe come on board at Landstar to try to, you know, move some freight with y'all, how would that coincide with what I already do? I work is seasonal sometimes, too. Right now when it's snowbird season, and, you know, it'll run good through probably January, but come February, March, April, May, sometimes it's kind of a dead zone for the auto transport.
Mm-hmm.
How would I go about find out information whether that would I could work for y'all or y'all could work for me, either way?
Well, first of all, I like the way you think. Landstar, come work for you. That's the right attitude to have if you're going to be an entrepreneur. To answer your question, our lease is an at-will lease, for lack of a better term, Robert. So you could sign up with Landstar today and go back to doing what you're doing when you if you decide that it, that seasonally or for whatever reason, that's the best thing to do. It's we're not going to lock you in to any long period of time. It may not pay to jump back and forth, but what I would encourage you to do, Robert, is give Earl a call and talk to him a little bit about that offline, some of the pros and cons to that. But I would stress that we are not locking anybody into something or any relationship that they don't want to be in. If it works for you, hang around. If it doesn't, don't.
Yeah, I think I would know in the first 30 days compared to what I'm used to and what I'm used to making. It may be, like I say, your business may be better than mine, you know, down the road. It may be more what I'm looking for because in auto transport, it's a lot of physical. It's physical, and I do my own dispatching. I don't broker, but I have my own customers I've had for the last 6-7 years, and it's all repeat business. I don't go out looking for work, and I have plenty. I've had a great year. I've had a great year hauling and
good.
Everything, but and I've been doing it for 7 years and on my own, so I'm kind of maybe looking somewhere for somebody to take a little bit better care of me instead of me doing it all, you know.
Well, it is tough to work the sales and the operations side at the same time. Kevin and I have talked about that in the past. You talk about your customers. Would that be an auto auctioner or a wholesaler?
A lot of my stuff is export, but there are actual dealers, and I do go to the auctions and pick the cars up. But
mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff is put in containers and exported. And,
okay.
So I have very few domestic, what I call buyers, and most of my stuff is, like I said, export. And it's a good business, but you have to hit every sale to make a load, and that's what it is. What I do is once I go to all the sales and come back, then put everything together. Like you say, I have to do all the dispatching, all the coordinating, and all the routes. And, you know, it's just sometimes it's just a little bit overwhelming. You get tired of driving and maintaining the truck and driving the truck and, you know, running it from start to finish, you know.
Hard work. Hard work.
Yep, it really is.
We'll give Earl a call and bounce some ideas off of him. He'll give you good advice, Robert.
All right, I appreciate that. Kevin, do you have time for a mechanical question?
Sure, go ahead.
I've got a truck I bought a couple months ago, and it's an 03 Classic with a 14-liter Detroit. And after a couple weeks, it started pumping a lot of oil, 2 gallons every 800 miles. And so I know I'm getting blow by. I think somebody let this engine get hot and probably cooked the rings in it. But it only has 600,000 miles on it, and a very nice, clean truck, you know. But it had an EGR system on it, and it was burning the oil, so the truck never did smoke, and the oil sample never did. It said the only thing I got out of the oil samples, which is a benchtop oil machine, and was high oxidation in the oil, so nobody could really explain that to me. So, you know, I went ahead with the purchase, you know. So now I got to do an in-frame or an out-of-frame. And my question is, I've talked to a nationwide rebuilder about doing it, and I can do a basic in-frame for about $8,900 without doing any head work or a new head. Or I got a rebuilder that will give me a complete engine with everything new, and I can go to a non-EGR engine. I don't know what the legal aspect of that would be, but I can get away from the EGR and have a complete engine with new head, new pistons, new bull gears, you know, inject, everything would be new completely. And I'm looking at 9,000 versus 15,000.
Okay, this is a pretty easy decision for me. And as you were talking, there were so many topics there I could probably touch on. One, high oxidation in that oil sample is an absolute indication of blow-by. Oxidation in the oil is a direct result of those combustion gases getting around the rings and contaminating the oil. So just so you know, in the future, that is a dead giveaway of an engine that's getting a lot of blow-by is high oxidation.
Okay.
I'm not surprised that it happened early. These early EGR engines just didn't stand up. We had a lot of soot in that. We had a lot of contaminants from the EGR system that really wore on these engines hard. So many of them wore out early and needed in-frames. There is no question in my mind, if the choice for me was 9,000 for not a very good in-frame on an EGR. I mean, one of the things we have to worry about is you could spend that 9,000 on that type of in-frame and in a very short period of time be looking at some pretty big repair bills again, because there's a lot of things that aren't addressed in that type of an in-frame that could just give us a lot of problems early on. And for $15,000 to be able to put a pre-EGR reman in there, I'd be all over that. Here's the thing as far as regulation. I can't even figure out exactly what the regulations are. I think if we got right down to the letter of the law, we may be breaking some regulations somewhere. But, you know, that most trucks in 03 were non-EGR. You had one of the few. You had one of the few that were EGR. So to put a non-EGR in an 03 isn't going to raise any eyebrows anywhere. That would be my choice, hands down. I wouldn't even have to think about it.
Yeah, that's the way I've been leaning. And but, you know, everybody, you know, the wife and everybody else, you know, everybody's looking, trying to save dollars. But I'm like you. I know what's going down the road.
I'll tell you what. I can almost promise you that if we just take a six-month period from the time you make this decision, the $15,000, you're going to spend a lot less in the first 6 months than you will if you spend $9,000 and go the other way. Your fuel mileage is going to go up. Your repair costs are going to go down. The break-even is going to come within 6 months to 1 year, and everything after that is going to be pure profit. So I like the fact that you're talking about it, but go over those numbers, and I think you're going to be much happier with that second choice. If you're listening and you want to jump in, press 1 on your phone. If you've got some comments on the topic of tonight, kind of maximizing your time and your time off and choosing when you're going to work, when you're not going to work, if you've got a strategy you'd like to share with us on how you do that, press 1 on your phone, and we'll try to get to some calls here before we've got to wrap this up. Let's go to Idaho. Dale, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Rocco, thank you very much for taking my call.
Hi, Dale. How are you?
Good, thank you. As a Canadian, if I come to work at Landstar, obviously I can only come down into the U.S., unload, turn around and pick up another load for Canada, and head back out. How are the numbers looking for dry van freight back and forth across the border? And not being able to pick up and deliver while I'm in the U.S., certainly that's going to have an impact on revenue, but how big an impact do you think that is going to have?
Well, I will tell you this, Dale. We are actively and have identified Canada as an area where Landstar could grow, and we are actively searching for Canadian. We call them, Kevin, we never describe this on tonight's show, but we refer to our owner-operators as business capacity owners or BCOs, and we are actively searching for Canadian-based BCOs. We have tremendous opportunities up there. So if you want to cross the border, Dale, you can, but you don't have to. We have intra-Canada business as well.
How about dry van freight? Because I'm old and lazy, and I just don't want to pull a deck anymore.
We have that, too. You'll hear me say this a couple times. Give Earl a call. He can pull up our available freight right now, talk to you a little bit about what's available now at 10 minutes after 10 Central Time on November the 3rd. But he can get into some detail, ahead, behind what we've seen. But to answer your question, there is opportunity in Canada at Landstar today, and we expect that to continue into next year. If you want to talk about macroeconomic issues, Canada didn't have the big financial crisis that we saw here in the U.S. Now, the Canadian economy suffered because the U.S. economy suffered, and the two are linked. But Canada is in pretty good financial shape as a country, and will probably see growth before the U.S. sees growth, or we'll see growth, stronger growth than U.S. Will see, at least in the initial stages.
Well, and that brings me to my next question. With the strength of the Canadian dollar, only because the American dollar is struggling, has that had an impact on freight moving back and forth? Currently, I'm home refrigerated, so I really, I don't really notice the downturns or the upturns. I'm pretty steady.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, with the impact that currency exchange rates have, when the U.S. dollar is weaker relative to Canadian dollar, it makes U.S. goods cheaper in Canada. So you might think goods flow north. On the other hand, in the reverse situation, when the Canadian dollar is weaker relative to the U.S. dollar, goods will want to flow south because Canadian produced goods would be cheaper cheaper here in the U.S. So in either case, freight is flowing. It just depends in which direction is it stronger.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Right. Oh, it does. And, I guess I'll have to get off my butt and do some soul searching and I guess give Earl a call.
Hey, you don't even have to get off your butt to call Earl if you want to call him and talk about that tonight. He can give you a little insight as to what's happening right now in real specific lanes if you wanted to know that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Rocco.
Okay, Dale. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's see. Let's go to Ontario. Ben, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. How are you tonight?
Doing good. What's on your mind?
I just had a quick question relating to, I don't work for Landstar, but this could relate to some of the BCOs there, and just a general trucking thing, I guess. I'd pull a tanker, and a year ago I got tricked out to going out west for one trip, and we were supposed to have some backhauls lined up. They fell through. There was four of us guys that went out, and our dispatcher gave us the option, you can run back east, and I'll try to find you some freight in Chicago or somewhere along the way. Pretty much gave us good indication that it was going to be at least that, though, from Washington to before we got a backhaul, and home being Ontario. So that's the majority of the trip was going to be empty. But the benefit would have been we'd get you loaded, get you back home, get you back under another load. Or you can hang around and wait. The three guys decided to go back empty, and I decided to wait. It took 5 days before I got a load, and the load ended up paying really well. I just wanted to know what both of you guys kind of feel in that situation when you end up in an area that you know the freight isn't sparse. How many miles is it worth eating? Or, sorry, when you know the freight is scarce, how many miles do you eat before, and how much time before, you know, from a revenue point of view, I ended up doing way better than the three guys that came back empty, but, I mean, it was 5 days of sitting. So I'd really be curious to hear both your opinions on that.
Well, let me jump in because this is something I really put a big focus on this year. I taught a lot of this strategy at the CMC. I did a webinar on it. We were building calculators for this. There's no simple answer to this. And the other problem with a situation like this is we don't have a crystal ball. I mean, we don't know when we decide to sit. If we knew we were sitting for 2 days, then it becomes just a matter of numbers. But we don't know if we're sitting two or three or four. In your case, turned out to be five. So part of this comes from experience and paying attention and learning. You know, and if we get into a new situation like this was, we don't have that experience to draw from. So I guess what I'm trying to say is there are a lot of variables and there's no easy answer, but here's the way we have to look at this. One of the first things we have to calculate is what's called our fixed cost per day. And the way we could calculate that is if we take our total cost, our total fixed cost of our business, which is truck payment, it doesn't change whether we work or not. We still have to make a truck payment. Licensing, insurance, all of those things that we have to spend money on whether the truck works or not. Add them up for the whole year. Divide them either by 365 or divide them by the number of days you plan on working. There are a couple different ways to look at that. And we might come up with a number that we will come up with a number that tells us what it costs us to have that business and have that truck sitting. And if you were to take your fixed cost per day and multiply it by the 5 days you had to sit there waiting, you come up with a number that says, okay, that load, when I get it in 5 days, needs to cover all of these costs for 5 days before I even start to make a penny.
Makes a lot of
most
sense,
of the,
like one of the things, they ended up running, it was the third day before they got a load. They were back in Michigan. And, again, I guess that's where the chance thing comes in, right? You can't – sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's hard to,
exactly.
Hard to make that decision. But as they were traveling, they've also still got those fixed costs of running back with no revenue.
Well, they actually
the
have two
costs.
Things going on. They have their fixed cost because they're empty and they're not getting paid. Now they've also added in their variable cost because they're burning fuel and maintenance and tires and all those other things. So that's where this becomes a fairly complicated thing. I've built a calculator that, you know, takes away a lot of the work. You just kind of plug in your numbers. But even with the calculator, again, we don't have that crystal ball. We kind of have to go by experience and learn that, you know, how long are we going to sit? How far? But if we break it down to the numbers instead of emotion, then it, and the more we use the numbers and the more we look at it this way as a numbers game, the better we'll get at it.
Well, that's good. Okay, is your calculator available on the website?
No, not yet, but Rocco wanted to jump in with some thoughts. Go ahead,
yeah.
Rocco.
Hey, Ben, and for everybody, how I have always looked at it is when you're empty or looking, maybe you're going to be empty tomorrow when you're looking for a load. The variation of that old cliche, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. The freight that you load today is more valuable than the freight you might load tomorrow. Kevin is right on. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and this isn't exactly what happens in your case, but if you pass up a decent load today because you think you might have a chance at a great load tomorrow, over time, I don't think that pays off. And
That's a great point. Rocco, are you still
there?
I think we're losing you a little bit. I'm not sure if you were done or if you just faded out on us.
I may have faded out. I wanted to make a second point. Like I said earlier when we started the night, Kevin, I'm not saying run beyond your limits, legal or otherwise. When you need rest, whether your logs tell you you need rest or whether your body tells you you need rest, you've got to rest. But don't wait today because maybe tomorrow things are going to get better. When you're empty.
He cut out again. Thanks very much. Anyway, I'll free up the line for some more questions. I know the night's nearing an end. Thanks.
Hey, let me give you one more thought on that because your situation was probably a little different. It sounded to me like there were zero loads available where you were. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
That's a pretty unusual situation, and let me give you an example of how this may work in an extreme. Let's say there were two choices here. You sat, it took 5 days to get a load. They deadheaded an extraordinary amount of miles and lost 3 days to get to a load. Had there been a load available, and let's say it paid just some stupid amount. I mean, let's say there was a load to Chicago and it paid 60 cents a mile. I mean, this is where we get into that say no to cheap freight thing and it drives me crazy. Had I been sitting there and there was a 60 cent per mile load, I would have been the one to grab it and go to Chicago with it.
Okay. That's very interesting. And I will run the numbers on stuff like that and have a peek, but I appreciate your advice.
All right, thanks for the call. And Rocco, are you back? We were losing you there for some reason. I'm not sure why.
Can you hear me now, Kevin?
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay, I'm just wondering if maybe I thought there was some background noise coming from his that may have been cutting me.
Okay.
In and out. Because you guys sounded loud to me, so.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, it's a great topic, and there are so many variables. We could talk about it for a long time, all the different situations. And I guess the real message of the night is, one, be thinking about it. I mean, don't just let, you know, destiny or fate or whatever's happening at the moment, you know, direct what you're doing. Be specific about what you're going to do. Plan what you're going to do. You know, again, we always come back to that. If I'm going to run a business successfully, I need to have the freedom to do that. I don't want to be locked into something. I want to have those choices. And then with those choices, we need to be able to make good decisions, and planning is a big part of that.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. When you go to Washington, know how you're going to get out of Washington.
Yeah, and you know, one thing about business is it's not easy. If it were easy, everybody would be doing it. And we can't always have the right answers. We can't always know what we're doing. and they took a chance and ended up in a situation they had never been in before. They hadn't gone out west. It was new to them. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're kind of in a specialty market, which makes it a little different. But that's experience, and that's where experience pays off if we're willing to keep our eyes open and learn. You know, that there really isn't an answer for every question. Sometimes it just comes down to who has the most experience, who's paying attention, who's watching the numbers, and, you know, it's a challenge being in business, but that's the fun of it, too.
Sure, and don't be afraid to take a chance. It didn't work out for these guys, but maybe it would have worked out, and that's sometimes where the best stuff comes from is you taking a chance. It's been said that good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. So sometimes you take a chance and you learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we are just about running out of time. Why don't you give out that phone number? We don't want Earl sitting there falling asleep. We want to keep him busy. So he is there if you've got any more questions. And you made a great point, I think, while it was when we had Dale and Hugh on the line, that if you call Earl and you're talking to him, he could actually look up some specific lanes for you and give you some information.
Yeah, he sure can, and he can get real specific. You know, you and I don't like to get real specific with somebody because there's hundreds of people listening, and so I try to stick to topics or responses that apply to everyone. But when you are talking to Earl or if you call tomorrow any of the other folks there, they can get as specific as you want to be. Those are one-on-one conversations, and they can get as specific as we want them to be. Lanes, origins, destinations, all that stuff. So that number tonight and for the rest of the week, 877-472-0112. One more time. Yeah, 877-472-0112.
All right, we're going to wrap this up. I certainly want to thank you for joining us again. And we'll get you back. There's always more stuff to talk about. Anything coming up or any final words you want to leave with everybody?
Any Landstar BCOs that are listening, you'll hear about our appreciation days coming up in January. If you haven't heard, watch the web or watch your mail for news on those dates. That's in late January. We would love to see you down in Jacksonville.
Hey, speaking of those, I've been out there the last couple of years. Can I put in a request this year?
Sure.
Can we get better weather?
Boy, I don't remember last year, but you know, weather in January in Jacksonville can be gorgeous, upper 60s and sunny.
Oh, yeah.
It can be cool, but I don't know that we can get better weather, Kevin.
Okay, well, we'll put it in and see what we could do. And you're right, it's you know, when you get those Jacksonville days when it's, you know, high 60s and sunny, it's just beautiful. So that's what we're looking forward to this year. I just thought I'd put in my request early.
Well, I have put mine in. I'll add yours to that, and we'll see what happens.
Fantastic. All right. I want to thank you again, Rocco, for joining us, and we'll get you back here soon.
Great. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
All right. Thanks, everybody else, for joining us tonight. We're wrapping this up. We're all out of time. The live show's coming up on Sirius XM in just about 30 minutes, so we'll see you there. We'll see you back here. Tomorrow night, we're going to continue our debate on the fare tax, our discussion on the fare tax. Joe is going to be joining us, and we'll kind of turn it into a roundtable discussion on the merits or downsides, whatever you believe they are, to the fare tax. So join us for that tomorrow night, 10:30 Eastern time, same phone number. Remember, be safe, be profitable, be responsible, and master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rutherford.